The Infotainment Podcast would like to welcome friends, neighbors, countrymen to gather around the internet, for the Infotainment Podcast is about to begin. I was intending to mention this on my last podcast, but forgot to. I hope everyone had a safe and festive 4th of July here in the U.S. I went to a couple fireworks displays, and they were pretty good. Well, first up on the podcast docket, if iguanas invading parts of Florida wasn't enough, now we have super wasp nests invading Alabama. A colony of wasps can be as big as a Volkswagen Beetle and can have 15,000 wasps. The last time scientists saw such an unusually high number of enormous nests was in 2006. And you look at this thing, it looks like I don't know what you would call it. Maybe a huge iguana turd, I don't know. But it's well formed under somebody's eave. And the thing is just massive. I would not want to tackle that alone. Maybe if you had a fleet of highly durable drones, you could cut through it with the blades. I've seen that done with a drone, where a drone cuts through a wasp nest. And the picture of it is a super nest of wasps in Chilton County, Alabama, in 2006. Officials are warning residents to get professional help in removing such nests and not do it themselves. Yeah, if there is a wasp nest the size of a Volkswagen Beetle hanging off my house, I'm not going to try and tackle that alone. Maybe if they develop a paintball gun with clear liquid something that would kill them. That would be an interesting thing. Shoot it right into the nest. That would be an interesting invention. Next up on the podcast agenda is a story about pufferfish and cocaine. That's pufferfish. They do not mix well. Mixing poisonous pufferfish and cocaine is a terrible idea, Florida man learns. Eating the liver of the highly toxic fish is bad. Eating it while on cocaine, I should say that, cocaine is worse. Guess which state it's from? The Florida Department of Health has its own PowerPoint presentation about the dangers of eating pufferfish, and it just needs one slide to get the point across. Eat puffer and you may suffer. It says in all caps at the top of the page, although pufferfish is a popular dish in some regions, eating southern puffer can make you sick, the agency continued. There are at least 9 different species of pufferfish that can be caught in Floridian waters, which means that there are at least 9 species of pufferfish that shouldn't be eaten. The fish contains a potentially deadly neurotoxin that, best case scenario, can cause numbness, dizziness, and difficulty breathing. In the worst case scenario, it can literally kill you. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission prohibits anyone from hunting these fish, purely because of their potential to cause a very bad time. Well, a very bad trip if you had the cocaine. A 43-year-old man somehow missed those warnings and almost offed himself by eating pufferfish liver, one of the most toxic parts of an already toxic fish. The man's near-death experience was recently chronicled in a case report called Blow, a case of pufferfish intoxication in South Florida. After eating the liver, the man started vomiting profusely, had numbness and weaknesses in his legs, couldn't speak clearly, and had chest and stomach pains. Within 4 hours, he was in the emergency room, where doctors also discovered that he had extremely high blood pressure and chronic kidney disease. The man admitted that he'd also been using cocaine, and the docs attributed his blood pressure to that kind of blow. But the other symptoms were thanks to tetrodotoxin, the poison found in some kinds of pufferfish, tetrodotoxin, or TTX, is more than 1,000 times more toxic than cyanide, and there is no antidote for it. The pufferfish, the highest concentration of TTX, are found in the skin, ovaries, and the liver, making this man's bad decision even worse. The docs gave the man activated charcoal, antibiotics, and put him on a respirator to ensure that he would be able to breathe, even if the TTX further paralyzed him. If intoxication does not result in death, symptoms usually recover within 24 hours. As was the case with our patient, Dr. Patricia Almeida wrote in her report, the man's grandmother was also treated for dizziness and some muscle weakness, but because she hadn't eaten as much of the fish or any of its liver, her symptoms were not as severe. Unfortunately, the man's kidneys did not recover from the TTX, the cocaine, or the combination of the two. He will require dialysis treatments for the rest of his life. Oh my God. He also didn't or wouldn't tell the doctors where he got the fish. In the first place, pufferfish consumption is not commonly seen in the United States, Almeida wrote. However, both consumers and healthcare professionals should be aware of its particular life-threatening clinical manifestations. For now, we will forewarn the public to refrain from consuming the deadly delicacy known as fugu, or fugu. Maybe it would have fared better leaving out the cocaine. And then you hear about these people getting brain problems from amoebas they get when they're swimming in like lakes and stuff. It's just like makes you want to stick to pools and where there's only like kids urinating and whatever. Oh my God, it's not safe to swim anymore, it seems. But stay away from your pufferfish. No way to bring that to edible delicacy. I do have another story from CJ in his home studio. So let's move on to another topic.
Hey, Randy, glad to be back on your podcast program. Got a story for you about a wife that shot her husband. A man who Florida authorities originally said accidentally shot himself in a supermarket checkout lane, but he was actually shot by his wife's gun. The Pasco County Sheriff's Office told the Tampa Bay Times on Monday that deputies' investigations showed that the 69-year-old Vernon Messer was shot Sunday when his wife's purse fell off a counter at the Lando Lakes Publix, causing the two-shot Derringer inside to fire. First thing I'm thinking of was she must have had a lot in her purse to make that gun go off. The bullet struck Messer in the shin, and deputies said that 67-year-old Lillian Messer has a concealed weapons permit. No charges are expected, and deputies said Vernon Messer is recovering. So that's a good thing for Vernon, but I think he should probably tell his wife not to put so much weight in her purse that maybe the gun won't go off again if she's got less in it. Anyway, I'm glad he's doing fine.
This is quite a shock that this story comes from the great state of Florida, home of the most bizarre and weird stories that this podcast has ever done. She should have turned into full Clint Eastwood mode and went, go ahead, make my day. Now, whenever this couple gets in a fight, this guy has carte blanche to say, remember the time your purse fell down and accidentally shot me? Luckily, she did have a permit for it. If I still had my 25 automatic Beretta, which I wish I still had, I wouldn't mind going to Florida and culling a few of those green iguanas. 25 would definitely take care of those. I don't know if they would pay you. It might be a good business startup, but it sounds like they have already got some businesses that are eradicating the green lizard beasts. But Lisa was a Derringer and not like a 44 caliber gun. Maybe the husband says, you're not carrying a weapon in that purse anymore. You can carry an extra lipstick or whatever, but do not carry a Derringer in your purse. But maybe it's a dangerous area and they need to do something like that. What another weird story from Florida. Well, let's move on to another interesting topic here on the Infotainment Podcast. It's kind of in left field. It's about public nudity. So you want to lead the nude lifestyle. Well, if you don't want to leave the continental United States or some tropical place where the laws are really lax, you may choose the state of Oregon. I have a friend who's been traveling out west through that state and some of California. And besides having shitty cell phone service in a lot of areas in Oregon, they have some lax laws on public nudity. So let's dive into that clothing optional state. Public nudity in Oregon, where you can and can't legally be naked in the open. So you have to really be careful, especially when you're in cities. So you want to get naked in Oregon. You've got your sunscreen, a towel, and a good pair of shoes on your feet. The only thing nagging you is the law. Where can you legally be naked anyway? Well, that's a complicated question. The easiest way to frolic in the nude is to go to any of the nude resorts, beaches, spas, or events around the state. And there's a listing of those on another website. I might go to that and bring that up. But if you want to go rogue and strut your stuff in cities, campgrounds, parks, or trails, you'll need to brace yourself for a complex web of bureaucracy. Now, I know that he said they've kind of clamped down, that there's been some nudity around schools and other places that I would obviously guess. I wouldn't, if I wanted to test the laws there, going to a bank, maybe with a backpack and wearing a tie and a hat, I don't know, and being nude otherwise, whether they would. And you're not sexually aroused by anything, and you're not causing any other problem, but I'm sure they'd escort you out. Oregon state law is actually pretty lenient on nudity. To be charged with public indecency, you must be engaged in a sexual act or have the intent of arousing the sexual desire of the person or another person. So you can parade around nude, but no sex in public. But there's a catch. All local municipalities have the right to make their own laws regarding nudity, and those laws outrank the statewide policy. There aren't many, but there are places in Oregon where you can legally be arrested for stripping down in public, most notably in Portland. Additionally, most state parks and federal lands operate under rules of their own. So while the state law technically applies everywhere, it really only applies in places that don't have other more strict policies in place. You can read all the details below, which tell you in which forests to hike nude and in which cities to stay clothed. But the bottom line is this. If you are in a secluded place and there's nobody around who minds, you'll find little resistance to your being naked in the open. Well, I would think, you know, that one statement says, well, you're not trying to have sex with somebody in the public. I mean, if you're sitting on, like, we're having this problem here at our apartment complex about smoking. And management says, come down. Well, you can't smoke within 25 feet of the building. But one guy got upset about it before he moved out, that he was on the sidewalk smoking, and that was a no-no, and the management had paper written up about there is no public land on private property because sidewalks in our city are supposed to be cleaned by the people who own are living in that area, but I don't see why you, unless some busybody calls you in, if you're nude on your deck, if your deck is in the front of your house, I wouldn't see that there would be any problem. Well, I would. I'm sure some busybody with the spread of cell phones, and it really, somebody would call it in and somebody would stop there and say you're causing a public nuisance or something, come up with something. I don't get it. They're on their own private property. I can't see why they would, if you want a barbecue out front on your deck in a nude, I wouldn't give a shit. I mean, you know, you're just driving by. And this person said that in one of the cities, I believe Ashland, that there was a nudist female jogger. I don't know if she was stopped about that, but let's see where we can get back to this story. So while state law technically applies everywhere, it really only applies in places that don't have other more strict policies in place, which tell you in which forest to hike nude and in which cities to stay clothed. But the bottom line is this, if you are in a secluded place and there's nobody around who minds, you'll find little resistance of your being naked and open.
Ooh.
So you have to be pretty much in the middle of nowhere to do this. And you figure the bugs and crap, I don't find that appealing so much. But on a back deck of a house, I'd probably do it. Be safe, be responsible, and be respectful to people who might be offended. You can argue Oregon's lenient law all you want, but just know that you might have to take that argument to court. I would go to court if somebody called it in to the police that you were nude on your deck in the back, sunning yourself or barbecuing or whatever, that there is no public land on private property. So I don't, and I would call them a peeping Tom. So let's see, nude in the city. Oh, there's different. If I wanted to really stretch a lot, I'd go to a bank. Well, I'd wear a tie, first of all. I'd wear a hat and shoes, and just to see how. I would not walk by a church or a school because I'm sure the churches would kind of frown on you showing up at Sunday services in the buff. Let's see. There aren't many cities that have public nudity laws on the books because, quite frankly, there are very few non-sexual public nudity incidents to spawn them. But to date, there are four that have enacted stricter bans: Portland, Eugene, Ashland, and Happy Valley. I believe this person traveling out there was talking about Ashland and the new jogger. Yeah, now, a town called Happy Valley, that sounds pretty happy. I don't see why nudity would be a problem there, but I guess it is. In Ashland, it says it's illegal for anyone older than 8 to intentionally expose his or her genitalia while in an exterior public place. If I was doing that, I would stay on my own property. I would not go out into the street. I mean, hell, it'd be kind of dicey, but I suppose you could mow your lawn in the nude. Because I know that you can fry bacon in the nude without getting splattered on. Just stand a little further away. Let's see. I'm living proof that you can survive frying bacon in the nude. In Happy Valley, it's not so happy about this. You can expose your genitals in public if the exposure reasonably would be expected to alarm or annoy another person. Well, there again, you have to be on public property. Let's see. And in Portland and Eugene, Oregon, use almost the exact same language, banning nudity in a public place, open or available to persons of the opposite sex. Strutting around downtown in a nude, I guess that is out in Portland and Eugene. This runs contrary to popular belief in Portland, where the courts have only made exceptions for nudity during protests. I guess they do have naked cycling, and they did have a nude airport protester. I wonder what flight he was getting on. Counties can also establish bans on their own, but it is extremely rare. In Oregon's Lane County, a detailed ban is the glaring exception. It's also worth noting that all of the local laws refer specifically to exposure of genitals, which opens a possible loophole for women to go topless in town without technically violating city codes. Well, heterosexual male would object to that? I think it's kind of strange that guys can go without shirts and women cannot, and I'll be offended by the nipple area. Come on. Let's see. If there's one place a nudist should feel comfortable stripping down to nothing, it's in the midst of Mother Nature. And with all the bugs and creepy crawlies and mosquitoes, I don't know if Oregon has a big... some states do not have a big mosquito problem, but... It's the law is fuzzy as well. The most lenient places you'll find lie within the national forests of the Pacific Northwest. Nudity is still banned in developed recreation sites like campgrounds and day use areas, but according to the U.S. Forest Service, there is absolutely no policy against hiking nude in the wild parts of the forest. I would definitely check out the laws before moving out there from town to town. to see what would be legal and not. Let's see. This means that you have to be clothed at the trailhead, and you're absolutely welcome to strip down once you're out of sight from the parking area, so long as you're not disrupting or harassing any other hikers. You'll find no trouble at the several clothing optional hot springs. Oh, well, that sounds like fun, actually. We want people to enjoy their national forests and be respectful of not only the forests themselves, but also be respectful of the other visitors they encounter. Glenn Sachet, the acting regional media specialist for the local Forest Service, explained. In other words, if your nudity makes someone else uncomfortable, and there's a good chance it will, kindly cover up and move on, and undress when you're back on your own. Well, that would be a hassle, too. I mean, somebody gets offended by it. You know, if I was in the nude and some woman walked by, I just walk on by. I wouldn't say anything. I suppose in this era of smartphones, they would call and complain. And I don't know. A lot of different laws there to be checked on before moving if you want to live the nudist lifestyle in Oregon. That policy is largely the same in national parks. Oregon State Parks, wilderness areas managed by the Bureau of Land Management, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, which operates wilderness areas and wildlife refuges around the state, defaults to state and local ordinances. Tribal lands are a bit tricky, as each tribe dictates its own policies. I looked into Oregon's 6 reservations about their policies on nudity, and only 3 had mentioned in their tribal codes. Oh boy, I'd really butcher these words. Let's see, these different tribal communities all have bans only on sexual nudity on their reservations. So I guess you couldn't go nude in a casino there. Uh-oh. The other 3 tribes did not respond to requests for their nudity laws, but a representative from the regional offices of the Bureau of Indian Affairs said law enforcement officers sometimes respond to incidents of public nudity. The big takeaway from all this is that authorities expect people to self-police when it comes to being naked. Feel free to be nude in more secluded public places, but be prepared to handle any conflicts with clothed folks by yourself. So if you want to check out the nudist lifestyle and would like that, you might check out the state of Oregon. Now I think it's time to pop and drop this episode of Infotainment to the interwebs. And if you are a frequent listener of Infotainment, there are ways to support this program. You can make a PayPal donation at randyms12@gmail.com. You can check out my Facebook page. Please subscribe. You can become a patron of Infotainment by going to patreon.com/infotainment. You can tweet my Twitters at randypodcaster and everything else. Here's wishing you a happy day today and a happy ending tonight. Bye-bye for now.